CBS News Special Report. The Dow Jones just clocked its best day in 13 months today on Wall Street. CBS's Jason Brooks breaks it down.
Investors funneled money out of high-flying tech stocks like Nvidia and Microsoft and into industrials like Boeing and Caterpillar. And that led to a 742-point gain for the Dow Industrials to 40,954.
Market analyst Art Hogan.
We've certainly seen some momentum in the market over the course of the last 12 weeks or so. The S&P 500's been up for 10 of the last 12 weeks. But all of a sudden last week, we started to see broader participation in sectors that weren't just the artificial intelligence darlings like the Magnificent Seven.
Those are companies with the highest valuation like Apple and Amazon. But again, a record day for the Dow, the stock index adding 742 points, closing near 41,000. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two failed recall attempts are proving lucrative for Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who was allowed to collect unlimited money during that time. Wisp Politics reports he pocketed nearly $640,000. Most of it, a cool $500,000, came from Republican donor Elizabeth Uhlein. The RNC was promised to be a boon to restaurants, stores, and other establishments in downtown Milwaukee, but Monday, many businesses say it was pretty slow.
We were kind of, tied up having to be at the convention hall, and so we're looking forward to some more flexibility in the next few days to go out and, just be part of the community and get out to different places we couldn't yesterday.
Wisconsin Delegate Stephanie Susick says they had to stick to a tight schedule. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, July 17th. In Wood County, the Central Records Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold their regular meeting at 2 p.m. in their conference room. The McMillan Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 p.m. in the McCourt Room at the library. The board may enter closed session to discuss negotiations and strategy about the ongoing legal battle with Viking Electric regarding the solar panel array located on the roof. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board Subcommittee will meet at 7 at the Hewitt Village Hall. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Special Meeting will take place at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Aging and Advisory Committee will meet at 1, the Housing Authority will meet at 2:30, and the Land and Water Committee will meet at 3:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks looking for a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks looking for their first win tonight in Summer League action in Las Vegas. So far, they've lost to the Bulls and then the Cavaliers on Sunday. Tonight, they face the LA Clippers. The Bucks' 6'11" rookie, Tyler Smith.
I don't just set screens, roll, and shoot the ball. I mean, if that's what you need me to do to pay me for it, I can make a lot of shots. But I mean, I can also take people off the dribble, beat bigs on the floor, and also play stretch five.
Baseball, the All-Star game is tonight. Be on the lookout for Christian Yelich and William Contreras to start and play in the first few innings. Golf, the state amateur golf championship underway at the Legend at Merrill Hills. Ty Kretz atop the leaderboard at 5 under. Tony Romo flew into Waukesha after competing over the weekend in Lake Tahoe with Aaron Rodgers and AJ Hawk. Romo says he's grateful to be invited back to the Wisconsin State Tournament.
You know, the people here are so generous and nice and allowing me to play in this tournament, so I feel like you want to allow people who help you out, you want to help them out too.
That's Tony Romo with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers, highs close to 80. Right now it's 80.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Mike Tate, as well as former U.S. Representative from Wisconsin, Scott Klug. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 4:30, we're going to talk to CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, with the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Right now, we're talking with Boy Scouts of America. We've got some good new friends with us. Kevin Krieger is with us. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. And we also have Fabrina Buffington with us. Did I get it right, Fab?
Fabrienne.
Yeah, I knew you just told you. Me 2 seconds ago.
That's okay. That's okay.
Fabrienne, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Would you, before we dive into Boy Scouts and talk about the kind of a year in review of 23 and talk about some of the fun things that you guys are doing in the in current and present time, I wouldn't, if you guys wouldn't mind telling us your ties to Scouts. And Kevin, I'll start with you.
Well, I started in Scouts many, many years ago. I was in Cub Scouts as a child and then joined Boy Scouts. And I made it as far as second class. I kind of ran into the situation of a single parent couldn't get me to the meetings. And our scoutmaster actually was our neighbor, so I was able to ride with him. But when he stepped down, I was unable to make it to the meetings because of where the location was. So I was probably 13 years old when I probably had to stop being in scouting. But I got back into it again when my two boys got into it. I've been thinking about this. It's been about 17 years ago. both of my boys did make it to the highest level in scouting as an Eagle Scout. I was a Cub Master, then leader, committee chair for the Cub Scout Pack. I've been a Scout Master, committee chair for the troops. So I've been around, and now I am the district chair for the Ottawagam district here in Wisconsin Rapids.
And Kev, appreciate the work that you put into this, and not just for your boys, of course, but for our community. Really do appreciate that, man. That's very cool to hear, and thank you for that story. I want to come back to that, though, before we wrap up, because I got some questions on that one. Okay. Just out of curiosity. And Fab, I'm just going to go with Fab.
That's
I can't
totally
mess
fine.
That up. Mess Fab up.
That's totally fine.
Fab, what are your ties to Boy Scouts?
I am the district executive for Wisconsin Rapid area. And I've been on the job about 2 months, I think actually 2 months today. So I am very brand new, but very excited about being in Wisconsin Rapids and working with Boy Scouts. My ties to Boy Scouts was when I was about 3 or 4, and that was quite a long time ago for me.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Both my parents were leaders in Boy Scout when my brother was there. When he was a kid, and I just got to go along with all of the different activities and camping and all that when we lived out in Montana. And it's just, it's kind of funny that kind of a full circle back around.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Which is always unique in life. I always find that cool when that happens.
That connection,
And just so you know, it is a rite of passage that you have to come on the air with us and put up with my questions. That is so.
All good.
Happy 2-month anniversary.
Thank you.
And here's what you get. Here's what not. we really do appreciate the time and everything you put in the Boy Scouts and in our area. We appreciate that. And it's nice to have you with us.
It's a lovely area and really very supportive town, and we definitely have a great group of people that are leading our different PACs and troops.
Yeah.
So I'm very impressed.
I want to talk about that with one of the members of that. And Kev, one of the things that I wanted to get into before we go forward, let's rewind a little bit and kind of look at the year in review of 2023 and the things that different things that you all accomplished over there. What are some of the highlights to you?
Well, some of the highlights is that we had a pretty good recruiting year. We've had struggled in the past because of the COVID, kind of put a damper on that, and we're kind of slowly starting to make our way back, not to where we were before, but we did increase a little bit this year throughout the whole council, which is the Samoset Council, which covers from probably as far as north as Rhinelander, I would have to say, and then down as far as Adams Friendship. So it's a big area. Yeah. And we did okay. I mean, there's a lot of room of improvement. We are trying to really work our way back up, because at one point our council was one of the top councils in the country. And we want to get back there again.
Yeah.
So we're growing. One of the biggest things that I think that is always one of my biggest highlights, just because once you get to that point, you're at the highest level as Eagle Scout. We had 63 with council-wide.
Nice. That's impressive.
This last year. So it's pretty good. Our numbers for camping went down a little bit, but again, like I said, it's just one of those things because our numbers are down.
Yeah.
But hopefully in the 2024, which we have seen, hopefully it keeps going up.
Service is a core part of what you all do with Scouts. You guys put in some major hours over in last year when it comes to that.
Well, yeah, and in between doing our scouting for food we do in the spring, but a lot of those service hours comes to from, you know, the Eagle Scout projects. That's where a lot of the hours come in, and I've talked to many college recruiters, and if it comes down to two people and they see a Eagle Scout is there, they take that Eagle Scout just knowing because of the service hours they have.
Yes, yeah.
And the projects are very impressive that they do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Both good points. And Kevin, to your point, I know that we have a lot of people out there gearing up and preparing for their senior year of high school and getting ready to go into going into college and continuing their education and everything. That is one of those things that most college resumes look great having on there. Mm-hmm. And if you are somebody who did not get a chance to do Boy Scouts, you could still be a part of things. You could still volunteer. There are still opportunities for you no matter what the age. And we'll talk about that a little bit before we wrap up. But just as a note to any college kids out there, I think that is a great note by you. So I want to make sure to hit on that. There's so many other things that you guys do in communities as well, Kevin, that really enhance the community and make it better.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I know that there's a few troops in our area when the United Way do their raking in the fall. They get a group of kids together and they go out there and rake leaves and get that going. And then also, too, I think some of the other troops and PACs, they get together with their sponsored organization. They do some of those projects. But one of our biggest, I mean, besides our fundraiser in the fall, is our spring, is when we do our scouting for food. And our area for the Wisconsin Rapids area goes to the emergency food pantry here in town. And then, like, the Nakusa area goes to their backpack. And then I think the Pittsville area, they have a community pantry there, too. So, but our council, they had over 38,000 pounds. I can't remember
over 38,000 pounds. I just want that to sit there for a second. Yeah, that is amazing.
A lot of meals, lot of food for people in need.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
And I think this last spring, I'm going to try to go off the top of my head, I think just in the Rapids area was close to almost 2,000 pounds that picked up.
That's just incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah, so the community does quite well helping us out. And they do look forward to it, because we get the phone calls sometimes of, when are they coming, dropping off the bags to put the food out? Right. So people do expect it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kevin and Fab of the Boy Scouts of America. And one of the things that I thought would be interesting as we get into today and going forward and everything, we are certainly want to inform people about Boy Scouts, but certainly do some recruiting here as well. And one of the things I approached this as is somebody who did not grow up in Boy Scouts and didn't get a chance to do this as a kid, but really wish I could have. I think that by the time I moved out here, my parents felt, well, he's too old for Scouts. And them not knowing much about it either. Mm-hmm. So I thought one of the things we could do is get into the programs and the kind of age ranges of these programs so that parents out there understand a little bit more of what's the difference of a Cub Scout and other levels of Cub Scouting. So if you guys don't mind, I'd like to touch on that just a little bit.
I get to do it for now.
And I do have a cheat page in front of me, so I can ask this question and put you guys on the spot. So this begins with Cub Scouts. Which I think a lot of people might know, but I think that their knowledge of Scouts may start or end right there even. So Cub Scouts, Kevin, this is for ages 5 to 10.
Yes. It used to be just from first grade to fifth grade, or halfway through fifth grade, and you can go into Boy Scouts like halfway through your fifth grade year of school. But within the last 5 years or so, they brought the Cub Scouts, and that's called the Lions.
Mm.
And that one really promotes the family involvement on that, so they can get the kindergarten kids into Scouts and kind of get them introduced, and kind of hopefully they can move up the ranks. You go from Lions to Tigers to Wolves to Bears, and then a year and a half of Weeblos. And the Weeblos was where they pretty much start getting you prepared to become into the Scouting program and moving up. So, yeah, I remember back when I was a Cub Scouts, it was basically I was dropped off at the dead mother's house and left there.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is more family oriented. They want the families involved. They want the families to be there to help out. I mean, obviously, we were going to hopefully get some volunteers from the families of being maybe a den leader or a Cub Master or a committee member or just someone that maybe take on something, a project or something.
Yeah.
So Cub Scouting compared to back when I was in Scouting is a lot different compared to what it is now. It is really family oriented.
It's another good note, especially for those out there that have been in Boy Scouts before as kids, but maybe it's been a while since you've been refreshed with the program. So that's a good note.
So once they get to the Weeble twos and they earn their Aero Light, then they can advance into the Boy Scout end of it.
Hmm.
And that goes up until they're 18.
Okay.
There has been a few Scouts in the past years that we've really had to really scramble to get there to the Eagles, because once you're 18, you're done with the Boy Scouts end of it, and you cannot get your Eagle. So me, when I was a Scoutmaster, I kind of encouraged the kids to hit their Eagle before they're 16, because once you get that vehicle, a job,
and all the other
extracurricular stuff, we go to school and all that. So I always encourage the Scouts to try to get to their Eagle by the time they're 16, and it's achievable.
Yeah, definitely.
And one, I guess, I just kind of popped in my head. I want to let everybody know, Scouting is just not for boys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is for girls also.
Mm-hmm. I had them in my notes. Nicely done, man. Nicely done. Yeah, yep, definitely wanted to cover that.
Some great female troops and both troops work together and do separate things, and it's just a great collaboration. One of the things that I've really enjoyed about Scouting and being very new to it, so I'm just learning a ton, is that it is very family orientated. And then when you get up to the Boy Scouts, which will be Scouting America starting in February, we're already starting to feed that in, is that the kids are involved in so much of the programming, and it's led by them, but the families are still really involved. And that piece is awesome, because from a parent perspective, you also have that community amongst the parents and that group. So it's really kind of twofold there, which I didn't know about myself until I started working from them.
Those are really good points.
Yeah. And Samoset Council is, Kevin was saying, it is what we fundraise, what we ask for food, and all of that stays in the community. I love that it's not out somewhere else. It stays and helps our community.
It's all great points and important things to keep in mind when it comes to not only promoting and sponsoring, but maybe being a part of things with Scouts and the work that you guys are doing over there. Kevin, were there any other breakdowns of that we wanted to mention?
I know this area, we don't really have these programs. We did at one point, but it was just the lack of participation. We do have the Venture Scouts. That is from the age of 13 to 20. I know at one point they had a venture group that was like through Solaris. They did, you know, this is where they can kind of do like maybe more radio or telecommunications.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they used to have one through the police department where they're more working on that end of it. Just mm-hmm. through the police department, they would also, you know, some of those would help out like with parking and some type of security that was on that end. Mm-hmm. And then the exploring is more adventurous. They do teach the importance of life career skills and from all backgrounds.
And if I could, Kevin, I'd like to piggyback off of the exploring end of the group, because while I mentioned earlier in the interview, I wasn't a Boy Scout growing up. The Explorers group I did actually participate with when I was in high school. I saw an ad in the paper for this, and I had a teacher tell me that, well, this group, this Explorers group, this could be anything. I'm like, really? So young actor me thought, oh, wow, this is amazing, really? And I didn't like the high school plays that were going on, so I reached out to a bunch of friends from Nakusa and here, and we formed an Explorers group, a theater group, and we did plays. We wrote, directed two of our own plays over our junior and senior year. We had a blast doing this, and it's part of the reason I'm in this chair today. Is the work that I was able to do with that Explorers group, the confidence that I built from that, and the leadership qualities I learned, that just interacting with other people, that was something I was not very good at all growing up, that I learned in junior and senior year with this group. I would like to send a big thank you to Lisa Fisher, who was in charge of our Explorers group, a wonderful teacher in our area for many, many years, and I couldn't imagine my life without it. It was fun to write those plays. It was fun to act in them with my friends and everything. But I cannot tell you how many times I look back and I think about where I am right now, and it just doesn't add up. I don't get here without that. There's, you know, we all see this in an arc of our lives in different aspects. Well, that was an impact, or, oh, that made a change. Maybe we don't realize it at the time. But at that time, I had no outlets like that. I had no creative outlets like that. This gave me that. And I know I'm not alone. Not only my fellow classmates that were able to participate, but I know that there's other Explorers groups around the country that experience this too. So again, Scouts is not just for boys anymore, but for girls as well. But it's not just something that you have to, oh, I hit this age and maybe I can't win a badge anymore, earn a badge anymore or something like that, but I can still participate in this great organization that's doing such great work in our communities.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of want to talk off of that a little bit too, because with the scouting program, especially when you get up into the scouting part of it, when you start earning your merit badges and start earning your ranks and stuff like that, is we had an opportunity to go down to the University of Wisconsin-Madison to do the nuclear science merit badge. And it was actually put on by the university, and it was pretty cool, because we actually, one of the students that was doing it said that he was in Scouts, he was down there doing the nuclear science merit badge, and all of a sudden he decided, I'm going to do this instead of what he was originally going to do. And we do teach life skills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the kids are like, oh, why do we got to do this for our Eagle Project? Yeah. You know, for example, you have to do, there's like four citizenships merit badges you have to do, nation, world. Oh, boy, I'm not going to goof this up.
Mm-hmm. You can get that badge.
But there's four of them. But they're like, well, why do we have to do it? Well, you have to learn to be a citizen within your community and world and nation and all that stuff.
Right,
And then, you know, why so much cooking? Well,
you got to eat.
You got to eat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But so, it's not, you know, the kids are going to have fun doing it.
Yeah,
but they're also going to learn something,
and that's one of the masterful jobs we do as adults, I think, is being able to, I don't mean really trick kids, but in a joking sense, tricking kids mm-hmm. into like, hey, we're having fun here, and they're also learning, but that's great. That's a big part of life in general, and I don't know many parents out there that couldn't use the hand when it comes to a lot of these things too.
Right,
and so there's that part of this as well. As we're wrapping up and getting close to the end here, I did want to talk about 2024 and what you guys have going on going forward. And Fab, you had the popcorn information for us?
Yeah, we'll start taking orders for popcorn September 21st. And that runs through into November, where we'll start delivering and doing popcorn. We also do have where quite a few troops are pre-ordering, and so you can buy right directly from them or also order. So we're looking forward to that, and it's going to be my first year. I've bought years and years of popcorn from all my neighbor kids, and so I am looking forward to being a part of that also on the other end.
Yeah, thank you for that information, Fab. And Kevin, you had some numbers of
our sales last year were over $300,000 in popcorn. Ooh. And that goes directly to the kids and to the program. It doesn't go to, you know, some of these other, you know, ways of, you know, fundraising happens, but this goes directly to the scouts themselves.
It's important that transparency matters so much, and we appreciate that. I know that there are people out there listening that would like to be a part of things. I know that there are families out there that heard your story, Kevin, and can relate to that, and I appreciate you sharing that and everything. So if people out there want to be a part of Scouts, whether getting their kids involved or maybe themselves and volunteering or any of the above, where can we send them, Fab?
Online, we have a website, samoset.org. And they can go right to our website, and they can sign up for Boy Scouts. They can see what's going on, and we do have a Facebook page also. And we will be doing a lot of different events around the community, open houses where we're giving out more information, some of the rafter games, just a lot of different opportunities around the area.
We're going to be seeing you guys a lot.
Yes.
Which is great, which is fantastic. Right. That also leads me into letting you know the door is always open. Please feel free to stop by anytime, especially when these popcorn sales start getting going and everything. Let us know about it. We can spread the word on our airwaves here. That's what we do around here. So
we'll
please let
us know. Kids in too and have it.
Please do.
Please do. And we'll bring treats.
Yes. I wasn't going to lead into that, but I really appreciate it.
Treats are always good.
We are never going to turn down the treats. Kevin Fab, thank you so much for the time and everything you put into our communities.
Thank you
so much.
Appreciate you all. Again, you can find out more at samoset.org, samoset.org. We'll be talking with the Scouts again real soon. Coming up, we got more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers, believe it. Uline is the hardworking, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Ron Johnson going on the attack in his primetime speech at the RNC last night.
Today's Democrat agenda, their policies, are a clear and present danger to America, to our institutions, our values, and our people.
After the speech, Johnson claimed in an interview that wasn't the speech he planned to give. His people aren't saying who changed it, how they did it, or why. A father and daughter from Green Bay are dead, the apparent victims of extreme heat while hiking on rugged terrain in a national park in Utah. Albino Herrera Espinoza was 52. Beatrice Herrera was 23. Authorities say they died in 100-degree heat last week after they ran out of water. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. National Night Out is happening at Witterfield this year. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department is partnering with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball Club to host NNO at Witterfield on Tuesday, July 6th from 3 to 6 p.m. There will be equipment displays with representatives from many local law enforcement, fire, and emergency services, as well as bounce houses and face painting for the kids. If you attend National Night Out, you'll get a free ticket to the Rafters game that starts at 6:35. Don't miss the special edition Police Officer Roscoe bobblehead. Wisconsin's 77th Allison Dairyland is on the job. Oconomowoc native Haley Heinzel will spend the next year promoting farms, farmers, cheese, and everything agriculture. She says she got her start in ag in high school and was a member of the Future Farmers of America. That turned into a life sciences communication degree at UW-Madison. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former Beverly Hills 90210 star Shannon Doherty has passed away. The actress's publicist, Leslie Sloan, said that Doherty passed away July 13th, surrounded by her family and her dog. The charmed actress was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015, according to Deadline.com. Doherty was 53 years old. James Caan helped Will Ferrell develop some thick skin on his first film after leaving SNL. Ferrell told Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Sigler on the Messy podcast that between takes, Caan would say things like, "You're not funny, I don't get you." Ferrell says it was all an attempt to build up to the boardroom scene where Caan kicks Buddy out of his life, but also admitted to having doubts about the film's comedy when he would look at himself in the elf costume. Ferrell eventually received validation from Caan as they left the premiere when Caan said, "Great job. I thought you were way too over the top, but no, it's brilliant." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers. Highs close to 80. Right now, it's 80.
Monday. You're already late for work. You scramble, putting on pants while brushing your teeth in the dark. And you're starving. Starving. But the only thing in the fridge? Friday night's leftovers. Oof. A three-day-old curry beef burrito for breakfast? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells? Better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
The 24/25 Local in Lebanon Mini Magazine is available now out in your community. Once again, you can pick up your books at participating businesses and nonprofits. For just $20, you can enjoy recipes, jokes, contests, and best of all, save tons of money in the area. You can even find great deals on food, drinks, golf, groceries, and most of the area boutiques. In need of a service? Enjoy savings on tires, paint, windows, travel, and mobility equipment. And now you can receive $10 a month at Ho-Chunk Casino in Nakusa. Don't forget, you can also play contests and win gift certificates within your community. Listen for local and Lovin' It radio ads throughout the month on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR and 105.5 FM WIRI, and get your books at businesses like Wisconsin Rapid City Band, Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Southwood County Humane Society, Wisconsin Rapids Lions Club, Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club, Pub Pilots, and VFW Post 2534. Let the savings begin with Local and Lovin' It mini magazine, available today.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are live from day three of the RNC. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us. And public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 16th, 2024. Have your host, James J., here with you. And we're joined right now by CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you with us, Terry. As always, it's always a great time talking with you. And we put our serious hats on, so we're certainly going to get to business today.
Absolutely. Very professional.
No matter what flies in our
face.
No
goofing around.
What happens. No, we're going to stick with the task at hand. And I would like to start with Stuff the School Bus Desk, this collaborative that you guys work so hard on, Terry.
Yes, so we have two really important deadlines coming up as it pertains to this community collaborative. So if you're not aware, Stuff the Bus is our school supply drive and distribution. And there's two things that need to happen that we need the community to rise around. The first is registering students. So August 1st is the deadline to register your student for free school supplies. If they qualify for free and reduced lunch and they go to a school in Southwood County, they are eligible for free school supplies. So you do that, complete that registration by going to our website, uwswac.org, or you can just search United Way Southwood and Adams Counties and it'll pop up. And you will click on the link, and then you will register your students. We do need information about your students. We need to know what grade they're going in, what school, that kind of thing, because we really make a very, very serious, strong effort to make sure that each kid gets what is needed for their school. So, for instance, if they're going to be in fourth grade at Meade, we want to make sure that we're packing their backpack based on what fourth grade at Meade needs, not fourth grade at Howe or Nakusa. And of course, sometimes we can provide everything, sometimes we can't, but we try to match that teacher list as best we can, because the idea behind this is to minimize and eliminate disparities amongst our kids. And so we don't want to give, if each elementary kid needs a blue, red, green, and yellow folder, we're not going to give them four purple folders, right? Like, our goal is to give them what is on the list. So students do have to be registered. Again, the deadline to register is August 1st. That's a Thursday. And just for perspective, the registration's been open since May 1st. So there's there's a long window of time to get this done. You've got 3 whole months to do it, but you're down to the last couple of weeks. So if you have not registered, please do so. Again, the qualifier is free and reduced lunch. You can register by visiting our website, uwswac.org, or by dialing 211 between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday. And one of our resource specialists can just ask you the questions over the phone if that's easier to get that student registered. Now, we have right now 900 students registered.
Whew. Wow.
So that's big, right? Yeah. And it's important. And it's very similar to last year's number. So I also don't want to make it seem like it's, we've got some big explosion or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that is a lot of kids to serve. And so, we put the call out to the community now to really help us meet this need. So how can you help? There's a few different ways. You could purchase and donate school supplies, right? So just the next time you're in a store and they are out, I know people don't like to hear this, but I was in the store over the weekend and their school supplies are out. So we would encourage you to purchase school supplies and bring those to us at Lunch by the River. So on August 1st, we are the sponsor. We, United Way, are the sponsor for Lunch by the River. And we ask everyone to bring the supplies to Lunch by the River for the main reason of, A, then we're only handling them once, right? But at Lunch by the River, we have tons of volunteers that are there sorting. So literally all the pencils get in one box. Well, multiple boxes, but all the pencils together, all the pens together, scissors, that kind of thing. So that when our volunteers 2 weeks later are packing the backpacks, all the scissors are together. Everything is sorted and inventoried and counted. So it's really, really helpful if we can have all of those supplies by August 1st at Lunch by the River. We have several businesses that are drop sites. So if you buy stuff, but you can't come to Lunch by the River, you can bring them to our office. office at 351 Oak Street. Just one example is D&L Recreation. They've got a big up on their marquee sign. They, you know, say, bring your school supplies here so you could drop them off there. Just really, again, encourage you, if you're a business listening and you say, gosh, well, I'd be a collection point, just let us know. We'd love that to happen, too. We have often civic groups, businesses, coworkers also that just do drives, which is really awesome. So, and maybe sometimes there's some kind of an incentive for that, right? Like maybe if you have to wear a certain dress code, maybe a casual day if you bring a school supply, or you know what I mean? Just think out of the box and something fun. But the top needed items that we are seeking are backpacks, notebooks in plain colors, folders in plain colors. So, you know, the folders with the little puppies on are super cute, but that's not what the teachers are asking for. And again, we're trying to keep it the same for all kids. So plain colored notebooks and folders, colored pencils, markers, highlighters, glue sticks, scissors. And then, of course, if you don't want to, you know, you're like, hey, I'm not going out and buying this stuff. Monetary donations are accepted. All of those donations that come in are used to purchase these items. So there is, you know, it's not used for anything else. It all sticks right with Stuff the Bus. And as you can imagine, 900 backpacks are pricey, right? So we as a United Way team work on writing grants and seeking out funding sources, you know, to help support this cause. We have always, every year, been able to get what we need. So yeah, that's encouraging and good. Yes. But that doesn't mean that each year we're not like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of kids, right? Yeah, so we just want to make sure that we have what we need. So if you're interested in making a monetary donation, those checks should be made out to United Way and can be dropped off or mailed again to 351 Oak Street. You can also just donate online. When you visit our website, there's a donate button and then there is a memo spot and you could just say Stuff the Bus. Yeah. So, you know, that's a lot. That's kind of big and coming up, and it's only 3 weeks away. So that's why, you know, we're just really wanting people to maybe put a little urgency on it. Yeah. We've always had a great showing from the community, and it's just coming up fast. Maybe it's just coming up fast for me. To me, it feels like this summer is like flying by.
Could not agree more. Yeah, it really is. Going too fast. You could slow down, summer. Yes. Slow down, summer.
So we just want to make sure that we are ready, and we can't do that without you. So, you know, thanks to the generosity in the past. I mean, oh my goodness, it's overwhelming.
God,
you know,
we got how
awesome it is. And, you know, and then to just bring this full circle, August, now I'm going to think through my dates, 16th and 17th are the days that we will be doing the distribution. So again, a village of volunteers that comes together to make that happen. And so, you know, we certainly are thankful for all of those who sign up to help with that and make sure that we are successful in this effort.
There's nothing short of great opportunities to impact your community with the United Way. We're going to talk about some other ones in a minute. But this is, to me, one of the biggest impacts you can make, an investment in our future and helping these kids feel prepared for the class day and the school year ahead. I touched on this before with you over the years. I was one of these kids, and I was distracted by this in school. And I was already usually behind my other classmates coming to a different grade school and everything, let alone coming in. And, well, they got a glue stick and I don't, or some of those things. And it did play with me. It did mess with me. And I know I'm not alone in this. Not only my sister dealt with the same thing, but over the years and us having this conversation, Terry, I've heard from so many of our listeners that grew up in our age range or even older than us, especially the older community, that dealt with this a lot. And it was difficult, and it kept you from learning. It kept anything that distracted you. Now, there are plenty of distractions for kids. It does not take much. Here's one that we can do something about. Here's one that we can make an impact on, and you can feel awfully good from. Whatever type of donations you can make, we greatly appreciate it as this need gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah, and it is pretty easy. Like, we're not asking anyone to provide, you know, the value of an entire backpack. Of course, if you can, that's great. But, but you know, you think about all the things that go in there. Even if, like I said, the next time you're picking up a few groceries and you can pick up, you know, when they run folders for a dollar or something, you know, if you even just a dollar's worth, like it really all comes together and makes a huge difference and adds up. So again, I just want to run through most needed items one more time. So we need backpacks, plain colored notebooks, plain colored folders, colored pencils, markers, highlighters, glue sticks, scissors, and then cash donations also accepted.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry. And we'll go over that information again before we get right to that cutoff date and be listening to our morning shows. We'll be covering this topic again as well. Speaking with CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. And Terry, I am a part of your newsletter at the United Way and got the volunteers needed for a homeless point in time count coming up.
Yep. So point in time count is coming soon. This happens twice a year and it is not led by United Way. It's led by all of the community action agencies in the state, but we help with recruiting volunteers. And so this is a snapshot in time when every community in the state will do this count, and it happens in January and in July. And basically, the count takes place over in the overnight hours, starts about midnight. I think we gather volunteers like 10:30, 11 o'clock for a little orientation, and then they go out in small groups to just, you know, try to identify individuals in the community who might be homeless. There are some care packs that they offer to them if they're interested, you know, but it's not meant to be invasive. It's not a interrogation. It's not anything like that. It's just trying to identify how many individuals that we might have in our Wisconsin communities who are homeless. I think that, you know, what we've experienced is that, you know, homelessness looks very different in different communities, and it looks different in an urban setting than in a rural setting. And homelessness looks different to the naked eye in the summer versus the winter.
Very true.
You know, sometimes it's just easier to identify in the winter. In some cases, though, they maybe are partnering up or bunking up with someone else. In the summer, you know, those who are homeless might maybe have the opportunity to camp somewhere or to, you know, so they're not visibly homeless, so to speak. And not that, I mean, our goal isn't to find a whole bunch of homeless people.
Right.
But our goal is to find a whole bunch of homeless people. You know,
yes,
I mean, it's both, right? It's
if they are out there, you want to find them.
Yes. And so again, to offer, we do have some care packs, but really, like I said, it is trying to just get a count. And the reason that it's done in every community at the same time is so that we can hopefully avoid duplication, because right. We know that there is a level of transiency in the homeless population where, you know what I mean? Like, they might be here for a few days and then mm-hmm. the next week they might be in, you know, I don't know, Stevens Point, or they might yep. be in another community. And so the goal is to make sure that we're not overinflating that mm-hmm. number. And, you know, honestly, we typically don't find very many, mm-hmm. which for us is encouraging because it means that they have shelter over their head somewhere. Yeah. Now, it might not mean that they are properly housed. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got two or three families living in one dwelling, you know, it's certainly not ideal. I mean, yeah. think about your yeah. own personal space that you have at home and right. in your own ability to have belongings of your own and, yes. and that kind of thing. So it's not ideal, but from the safety aspect mm-hmm. and the health aspect, it's better than, you know, just seeing people out in the community homeless. So we participate in that. We are seeking volunteers. So if you are interested in being part of this, you would contact Ben at United Way at 715-421-0390.
This information is important, certainly on a local level, so that we can help any individuals out there that could use the assistance. But this data is also important nationally and locally because of how it impacts so many different things as far as, different grants we can get or different access or help that we can get from government levels and that.
Yes. So it does help us access and leverage government grants and also potentially matching dollars, maybe some subsidized housing. Vouchers, you know, subsidized housing inventory is a whole nother animal,
yes,
you know,
yes.
having enough, but to be able to, you know, adequately react to what's happening in a community, this is just one tool in the toolbox, but it's a very valuable tool. And so, you know, if you have the ability and are willing to be up for an overnight, I think, you know, usually by 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you're done. But if it's something that you are willing to experience and participate in as a volunteer, again, contact Ben at United Way.
And no previous experience is necessary for this. And you will not be out there on your own. You will have some security with you as well.
It's definitely in groups. It's not even just two people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a group of people that goes out. And you're given a specific area mm-hmm. That you kind of comb, so to speak. You know, that you drive by and walk around and check out.
Yeah. Terry, coming up, you have your campaign volunteer training. I thought we could dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, so this is exciting. Coming up on August 20th, this is when we are really working with people who coordinate the company campaign at their workplace. And so anyone who coordinates a company campaign is welcome to attend this. And so what does that mean? That means that, you know, maybe they are handing out the pledge forms on behalf of United Way. They are coordinating some fun activities. You know, one of the things that I mentioned earlier, maybe if people brought school supplies, they could have a casual day. We see that a lot during campaign. You know, if you make a donation to United Way, you get jeans on Friday, or, you know, something kind of fun like that. So, you know, we talk through a lot of those success stories that we see at companies that have high levels of employee participation in the United Way campaign. Many businesses allow their employees to give to United Way through direct deposit, which for a lot of people is just much more palatable, right? Like I can give you $5 a paycheck, but for me to just write you a check for $260, you know, that just doesn't really work into my budget. So, you know, this is a great think tank, so to speak, you know, getting these mm-hmm. folks together and talking about, hey, what works, James, what works for you at the radio station? Well, this works for me at the bank. Well, this works for me over at, you know, at this location. So there's some of that. And then we also distribute materials at that event. So it's a really good time for us. It's a very exciting time. We will be doing a group impact project with that group, and I'm not going to share what it is. But it is a fun, you know. It's we get the group together, and they're going to be packing kits that are going to be used in the community. So that's a great great opportunity to hear about what impact, 40 people for 1 hour, how large of an impact that they can make collectively together. So, you know, we're really looking forward to that. This is a registration required event, mostly for food. But, you know, it is something that we do need to know who's coming. Yeah. So, you know, I would certainly not turn away someone from the public if they wanted to attend, but it is designed and geared towards workplace volunteers, you know, for the sole reason of, hey, let's have really robust and exciting and energetic campaigns. The way that we fund all of the programs, you know, we've talked about a few, but we also help to support 30 programs in the communities that we serve. And so the way that we fund them is through our fall campaign. And, and so, you know, the success of these folks is really, really instrumental in anything that we can do to support them and help uplift them and to encourage their companies to support them and give them time to, you know, reach out to other employees and do these things, you know, is instrumental to the success of our total campaign. And it, you know, we can only give out what we have, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, we really want to raise as many dollars as possible so that we can continue to support. I mean, the 30 programs that United Way helps to fund, and then there's about 10 initiatives. You know, collectively, that's impacting about 20,000 people. Whew. So it's big, and sometimes it's bigger than people can wrap their arms around. You know, they're like, wait a minute, United Way does that? Wait a minute, United Way does that? Yeah, you know, so there is a lot. There's a wide breadth of what we're trying to do in the community. And really, that's because we want to impact, you know, kind of cradle to end of life. We have programs that are impacting all different stages of life, with a common thread. And that common thread is ALICE, which is, you know, our, I guess, underemployed members of our community. Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily, they don't have to be under the federal poverty level, but there's plenty of households that are above the federal poverty level, but still struggle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tough. And this economy and this inflation is making it even tougher. Mm-hmm. And so people are having to choose. You know, we had a really strong recent success with our diaper drive. Mm-hmm. We did a diaper drive and distribution that ran from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And what we did there was we asked for diapers, wipes, and creams. And just ask the community to participate. First time we ever did it, we got some really nice monetary donations, to which we just literally went and bought diapers and then distributed those to three programs in the community to focus. So at the food pantry, you can access diapers, to the family center, and then also to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center, so that people who are struggling, you know, they maybe are doing just fine. They're in that ALICE population, but because of the additional cost of groceries, they're choosing, you know, use less diapers. Yes. Or less food, or, you know, pay my utility payment, or, and so this is a way for us in the community to help alleviate that or, right? Let's give these families the opportunity to say, and, you know, I'm going to pay for this and this, and I'm going to do this and this for my children. And the really cool thing I think about ALICE and about our commitments to Alice is that, you know, these are folks in our community who are working.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, because we do hear that stereotype, this is just, you know, people just taking handouts. Well, you know, our main focus is people who are working and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has struggled at some point.
Yes.
So for us to be able to say, hey, we're going to have this tremendous campaign so that we can continue to fund those who need it most in our community. I mean, there's no lose, right? Like it's all winning.
And I want to piggyback off of that with the campaign volunteer training, because every year we talk about this, I never see a downside to doing this, whether you've done it before or not. I am curious, and Terry, say like for here, Pam goes for us.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go as well, can two people
absolutely.
Go?
Absolutely. So we definitely have multiples from many organizations. And we, you know, we even encourage that because I think there's something about there's the strength in the team too, right?
Yes.
So if an organization or a business sends two or three, depending upon the size, you know, four people, well, when those people get back, they help, you know, they help stir up each other's excitement and keep the flame alive for the campaign and the work that has to be done. So, we certainly encourage multiple attendees from Excellent. From one organization. And again, it's just. It's really how we do our best work is by the liaisons that believe in United Way. You know, maybe it was a heartfelt story that they heard. We also have very data-driven people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try to offer both. Like, what are the warm, fuzzy stories? What's going to tug on your heartstring? But then what about the people who need the numbers?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, it's kind of, it's we try to offer a blend of both or at least a snapshot of both. When we are talking at the training, and then, you know, hoping that carries through into the workplace when people are asking their peers to give, you know, hey, join me, you know, would you give to United Way?
Yeah.
We have some incentives. We have our sweepstakes, which if you give $1 a week, so $52 a year, if you give $1 a week, you qualify for our sweepstakes. We have five $1,000 cash prizes. They are all sponsored by businesses, basically out of their marketing budget, because we put their logo on everything.
Yes,
you know, so the number of impressions that they get is spectacular. And, you know, we talk about them all the time. And in the reason that, you know, we ask them to do this is to help us gain new donors and get people maybe to increase their gift. Maybe they've been giving, you know, $1 a week forever, but maybe they could make it $1.50. You know, you never know. And so if we don't ask, we don't know. And that's really, you know, one of the things too that comes out of this is promoting that incentive. And again, no donor dollars are part of this. This is all sponsored dollars. And it's pretty fun, pretty cool. Usually the week before Christmas, we go out with some checks and award those. So sometimes everybody's motivated differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes an incentive helps. Sometimes just knowing you're helping is the key. We have a bonus incentive this year, and that is a match from the Central Wisconsin Legacy Foundation. And so the first $500,000 that are given to our campaign will be matched into our endowment fund to help cover our fundraising costs. So, we've got some great stuff going on, and we just really encourage people to stay connected with us and, check out information at uwswac.org. Give us a call. Come and see us at Lunch by the River. We'll be there August 1st. We are the sponsors. So come on down with some school supplies. Say hi. It'd be great to see you. And, thanks for everything that you've done as community members to make sure that we stay successful.
We will meet you at Lunch by the River, and we will find out more information at uwswac.org. And be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great way to not only keep up to date on things there, but to reshare some of the things that they are doing on your page. Encourage you to do so. Always good talking with you, Terry. Thank you for the time.
Great to see you.
We'll have more fun coming up on Midday Magazine here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR, Pete Schwabba.
Tuesday night, Nightlight will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We'll be back in the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Intelligence officials say they detected an Iranian plot against former President Trump and shared it before the shooting at his rally in Pennsylvania. But the two are not connected. Political expert Dr. Brad Lockerbie.
I don't know that it's going to have any big effect over the long haul. What I think is going to happen is there probably will be a short-term bump to former President Trump's popularity, in a sense, a rally around the flag effect.
New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez faces decades in prison following his conviction today for bribery. CBS.